Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program, who joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you guys?
Fabulous as well. I am curious, Super. You know, based on what we were just talking about, when that day comes, if that day comes, whether it's the White Sox or someone else, and Nashville ends up with a baseball team, what are you going to do? You're a big Braves guy. Like, how are you going to feel about that?
Look, I have been on record with saying, you know, that I feel like I'm very fair and honest on the radio when it comes to the Titans and the Predators and the SEC and Vanderbilt and the Vols. And I try to be like an umpire where I just call balls and strikes the way I see them. And I have also been on the record as saying, and Ian backed me up on this, that if we ever get a Major League Baseball team, you'll never see anybody kiss more ass than me when it comes to trying to get the job to call those games on TV. I mean, I'll be a honk and a half if I get to call the 3-game set between the Nashville White Sox and the New York Yankees. So I am all on board. I think this Justin Ishbia is the greatest man who's ever alive. But I will say this, I was just, you know, I read the thing yesterday when it sounds like he's kind of, it's going to be a longer plan, but it seems very similar to the Bill Haslam and Herb Fritch transition with Justin Ishbia and Jerry Reinsdorf with the White Sox. And not only is Justin Ishbia and the Ishbia family, not only are they rich enough where I've said, like, look, if you're going to bring a team to town, that guy's probably going to have to pay for a stadium one way or another, which is why when everybody kept telling me, you know, oh, well, Nashville's in line for expansion, I said, I just don't see that happening because I don't see somebody paying $3 billion for a franchise fee and then also paying, you know, $3 billion for a stadium and now you're in for $6 billion. I just didn't see that happening before you even sign your first player. But I do see, like, a team moving and then somebody paying for the stadium. So I think that they have enough money to be able to pay for a stadium and then make it kind of a privatized where they reap all the benefits kind of thing. And the other thing is they have an office, this Shore Capital, which I didn't even know existed until 20 minutes ago. Shore Capital has a location in Chicago and a location in Nashville. And Justin Ishbia graduated law school at Vanderbilt and is a member of the Board of Trust at Vanderbilt. And so if there's anybody that would say, hey, you know, I've got no problem with Nashville, I would assume it's this guy who, again, has an office here and went to Vandy Law. Like, I think there's some juice here, folks. I think there's a little something brewing. And the White Sox are masters over the years of using leverage to get a new stadium built. The only reason Tampa Bay has a baseball team, because they don't have any fans. The only reason Tampa Bay has a baseball team is because Tampa built what is now Tropicana Field. They built that dome in order to lure the Chicago White Sox, who they thought they had a deal in place, and the White Sox were coming. And at the 11th hour, the White Sox struck a deal with Chicago. And then the Giants, who they thought were going to come, they ended up striking a deal in San Francisco. And so to avoid being sued by the city of Tampa, Major League Baseball awarded them a franchise. So let's keep that in mind with Reinsdorf and the White Sox. And I think the Nashville thing the entire time has been a leverage play to get a new stadium in Chicago. But I would have no problem with the Chicago White Sox wanting to move here, especially knowing that by them moving here, Jerry Reinsdorf, who I think is the biggest thing holding it up, is out. So I would love it. I'm on board, and you'll never see anybody kiss as much tush as me when it comes to Nashville getting a major league team.
So I got a problem with you that we got to get to here. All right. I don't understand what you're doing with this Vanderbilt baseball stuff. I really don't. This seems so unlike you, worrying about like a weekend regular season series rather than postseason success when it comes down to recent history. It'd be like the Predators winning a few games against Colorado and then Colorado going on to win the Stanley Cup in the playoffs. I don't understand what you're talking
Tennessee
about
is not
with
gone
Vanderbilt
and
reclaiming
won the championship.
I understand that, but they are the defending national champions. They're going to the Super Regional. We'll see where it goes from here. But, I mean, come on. Vanderbilt has fallen flat on their face in the postseason the last 4 years, and here you are sitting there talking about how they've reclaimed the best team in the state from Tennessee. What are we doing?
So I thought about this. If you were to go and you were to ask Michigan fans, who is on top of the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry right now? The answer is Michigan. Even though Ohio State won the national title last year, the answer is Michigan, because the games you play matter.
Michigan also won the national title the year before that, so it's not
a
great example.
And they've won four straight, Jared. Do you don't see the difference between that and what we're talking about here?
Three out of four Vanderbilt this year on UT, 10-1 or 10-0.
Right, but it's also baseball. So let's go through those years and add up the total. The Vols have a decisive advantage.
I do not, at this point in time, I do not think that Tennessee's one national championship outweighs Vanderbilt's two national championships, plus the fact that Vanderbilt beat Tennessee convincingly this season. Now, if Tennessee gets back,
so let's ignore
Omaha,
all the other data. Let's ignore the other data.
Which matters to elite programs. If Tennessee gets back to Omaha, then Tennessee, in my opinion, reclaims the top spot. If Tennessee loses this weekend to Arkansas, this is the thing about elite programs. Like, if Tennessee loses to Arkansas this weekend, then this season will kind of be, in my opinion, a forgotten season, and we'll move on, because that's what happens with elite programs. And it's the same in basketball. You know, Duke basketball doesn't look back at a Sweet 16 and say, hey, we made the Sweet 16. And that's what the Super Regionals are in baseball. It's great that you're in it now. It's great. But, again, Tennessee's got to take that next step to get to Omaha. And then I've said on record, if Tennessee gets to Omaha, then they'll take the top spot back. But they have to get to Omaha first.
So again, you're mentioning, yeah, it's getting to the Supers and we deal. Okay, fine.
The thing with
Vanderbilt hasn't done that.
Vanderbilt hasn't done that since 2021. Do you two believe that Vanderbilt took the top spot back when they won 10-0 in the SEC tournament?
No.
No, we said what would happen
in the
postseason.
That's the argument.
You have to do things in
the postseason. I believe this season Vanderbilt took the top spot back because – as you get further distanced away from Tennessee's national title, which happened a year ago with a collection of players that is not this current group, as you get further away from that, Vanderbilt threw their counterpunch to Tennessee this year, I thought made a statement with the way they played against the Vols this season. And so now the onus to me is on the Vols to reclaim the top spot, and the only way you do that is by getting to Omaha.
Great. The guys that won Vanderbilt's first national championship are 36 years old now, Jared. Wonderful. I mean, your logic is like there's pretzel logic and then there's whatever you're doing on this. It's truly amazing. I disagree with Robbie, though. I think Robbie has a very bad take. He's like, well, you know, Jared, his takes really normally make sense and I totally follow along. I'm like, really? Like, we need to come up with a list, man. I don't think you're that out of your element with this take. But
if I had to assign a percentage to it, I'd say I align with Jared more often than people think.
Joe Rexrode yesterday sent me a text when I was talking about, I think, what's a problem that the NBA has. And it's not the NBA's fault. It's just reality that the NBA has gone from Larry Bird to Magic Johnson to Michael Jordan to Kobe Bryant to LeBron James. And now who's after LeBron? And Joe texted me Donovan Mitchell ?
No, again, do you want me to read the text? You want me to read the text?
Larry, Magic,
the first person. I said
Michael,
Luka Doncic.
Kobe. Yeah, he's too fat. Okay. He stinks. He's out in the first round. See ya.
Then I said Jokic. Then I said Anthony Edwards. Then I said Giannis. And then the fifth player.
Anthony Edwards. Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant. LeBron James. And can't get out. Won't take more than five shots in a Western Conference. Anthony
but
Edwards.
This is you being dishonest about what you said. You said there's no stars. You didn't just say, like, there's not one obvious guy to take it from LeBron, but there are plenty of stars in the NBA. That's another thing you said, which was inaccurate.
I didn't say there are no stars in the NBA. I said there are no Kobes. And there is a difference between star and Kobe.
Yeah, you said the NBA, right, but that's fine. You know what? I'll do some hard Jared work, some hard Jared work, and listen to you. And then we'll cut it up and we'll play it for you, okay?
Again.
Next week.
Donovan
I'll play it for you
Mitchell,
next week.
Question mark. I'm
that
like,
was the fifth
oh my
guy.
God.
Yeah, again, oh because you said there are no stars, which is not accurate.
I said that there are no Kobe's. I said there are no Michaels in the game right now, which the NBA, and I hate to say it, the NBA needs that guy, that polarizing guy that half the people love. And, you know, like everybody loved Michael Jordan with the exception of Joe and Ian, because Ian liked the Knicks and Joe liked the Pistons. But everybody liked Michael Jordan and everybody turned on the TV for Michael Jordan. And, you know, it was funny because I was listening to Barkley. You know, he went on a rant about when did we decide that winning the championship is what makes you a great player or not? And it does make a lot of sense because we don't sit there and say, like, man, I'll tell you, Babe Ruth won X amount of World Series, so he must be better than Willie Mays, who didn't win as many World Series. We don't do that in baseball or anything like that. But I believe that the winning the championship became this big thing in basketball, not because of the defense of Michael with six titles, but because when Michael was becoming the best player in basketball, the defense of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson was that they win championships and Michael Jordan wins scoring titles, and then Michael started winning titles. So who's the next guy? You know, that's the big question with basketball. And I'm going to say this. I absolutely love
NBA
players voted Tyrese Halliburton as the most overrated player in the game. And he has stuck his foot up the entire league's rear end over the last month. And he did it again last night. I mean, I love it. And so, again, maybe Halliburton's the guy, even though the players think he sucks. I don't know. But I will tell you, as of
right
now,
there's a lot of great players. There's a lot of great players. It's a great product. I mean, just stop bitching. How about that?
You think the NBA is a great product?
Absolutely, it's a great product, 100%. And if you love basketball, then it's very easy to see that. Yes.
Explain to me,
Robbie, why and I like basketball. I'm sorry that you don't.
Explain to me, Joe. Joe, I'm going to give you about a. You know, it's your show, but I'm going to give you right. about a minute.
What are you going to allot me, Jared? You're going to allot me some time.
I want you to give me a statement as to why you think basketball is a good product right now. The NBA, the current NBA game, give me a statement. Robbie, do you want to guess why I'm asking Joe to give me a statement here?
I'm sure you're going to play it later.
Yeah, we're going to have Ian
cut it, and we're going to play it. So, Joe, defend the NBA. Go.
Hey, Jared, shut up. Thanks. We've already talked about it. LD from McMinnville says, please ask Jared about his comparison to Cam Ward. Maybe we should talk about your hard work, Jared. How about that? Why don't you cut that
So
out?
you don't want to defend the
I've
NBA.
I've already talked about it. Go back and listen.
Well, the people in the car now weren't the people that were in the car at 6:20, so they want to know right now. You bury Jared. Your defense of the NBA in comparison to what the NBA used to be, which the NBA used to be great, and now the NBA, hate to say it, kind of stinks. And you bury it at 6 o'clock, and now you will not defend it today.
I mean, you are seriously like a carnival barker. Like, I don't even know. What are you talking about? You don't dictate what I say on my show, and I've already talked about it. And it's a great product. I don't have to say anything else. It's a great
product. What makes it a great product, Joe?
Great players, great teams, different styles of play. There's way more variance in how teams defend teams now. There's different styles of play. It's the highest talent level it's ever been. The teams now would destroy the teams that I love from my youth. Destroy them. But we can believe this in all the other sports. Like, nobody would sit here and say, hey, let's bring that 80s football team to the NFL now and see what happened. They'd lose by 40, Jared. We agree about all the other sports. In Olympic sports, everybody gets bigger, stronger, faster. But somehow, no. I mean, I love my Detroit Pistons, Jared. Rick Mahorn, Mark Aguirre, bunch of these guys, they'd be laughed at if they tried to play in the freaking league now. I've said it a million times. It continues to get better. It is the best it's ever been in terms of an overall product, an overall talent level. Is that enough for you? You got more time, Jared? You need more time?
So you think if 27-year-old Michael Jordan were transported into today's NBA,
he'd be a great player.
You think that Michael Jordan wouldn't be Michael Jordan?
I just said he'd be a great player. The great players from different eras, absolutely would be great. Robbie and I have talked about this. Robbie agrees. The overall talent level is so different. The overall skill level, the skill development, what people do to work on their games and their bodies, so different than it used to be. These dudes used to eat 3 cheeseburgers and go out and hung over and I mean, dude, get out of here. Like, you are just part of the problem of people who somehow in this sport can't see how things continue to advance in every element of sports and building athletes. It's amazing. But thank you for displaying your ignorance by demanding that I defend my take. Go away.
At 27 years old, Michael Jordan played 82 games, which is something that the superstars don't like to do anymore.
The analytics people in the NBA. It's not because of LeBron. It's because these people have figured out, you know what? If you take 10 games off, the postseason performance goes up. That is not the fault of the players. That is the fault of the front offices.
So in 82 games, Michael averaged 31.5 points a game. He was the MVP, and he was also named the first team defensive team. In the playoffs, Michael averaged 31 points a game. So I guess the 82 games didn't slow Michael down as he won an NBA title and played in 17 games and averaged 31 a game. He played 82 the next year and averaged 34 and a half in the playoffs the next year.
Why are we switched to Michael Jordan scoring averages?
Are better than Michael
Jordan. This
is the
discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Jared.
Unbelievable. He just
Joe Rex
Rowe
thinks
never
that
said
Michael
that.
Jordan would just be a guy in today's NBA.
I never said that. I just said
that
he'd
today's
be
NBA is better than yesteryear's NBA.
I'm
615-737-1025.
2-6 later today. Thank you, Jared.
Yeah, get him off the line. Like, think about that. Like, I just said he would be a star. I said all that. And then he just completely I mean, the guy's a liar. But the great thing is we all just heard him. This is what he does. He just lies. I did not say that whatsoever. But, hey, some good segments for Jared later. Congrats, Jared.
Joe's mad. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, which, by the way, is absolutely popping right now. After Stilly's little segment last time out, Joe, how we doing over there?
I just at some point you just I feel like the little meme of the, you know, the one guy with the sword,
yeah,
like Game of Thrones. I mean,
the army coming the other way, yeah.
Like there's an incredible amount of ignorance out here, man. Like you got Chip from Mount Joe. They only play for 1 to 5 individuals. Now I've got Jabari on the YouTube chat saying there are 0 skilled big men now.
I saw that.
Remember when the Warriors drafted James Wiseman? Yes, there are 0 skilled. Yeah, you can't find any skilled big men out there. I mean, who could ever find one of those in the NBA? I don't know. If you hate the NBA, hate the NBA. Again, late 80s NBA. This is what I said in the YouTube chat. It's my favorite thing of sports. It's my favorite time. I will always love it more than I love the current NBA or any other era of the NBA. The rivalries, you can't make that stuff up.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got a rant coming because I got triggered by a personal text today. So just get excited for it. But again, and now of course Jared will twist it. I never said like Michael Jordan would not just be a guy today. He would be a star. We've talked about this. You've agreed with me. In fact, I think you made the point previously on the show. You know, anybody who says Jordan wouldn't be a star today, that's stupid. Of course he would be.
Yeah.
But then there are also people who say LeBron wouldn't be able to handle the physicality of the – I mean, my God, he'd dunk on everyone's head and laugh. And
that
may
be my favorite take in the history of sports. I mean, just the people who think LeBron couldn't play in the 90s. It's like, okay, he's 6'8", 275 pounds.
I mean, my God, just like –
and runs like a 4.340 in his prime.
Yes. What I would ask people is to actually go back and watch one of those games. I actually do sometimes. I love it that much. I mean, I probably still have somewhere my VHS tapes of like the Pistons championship teams, you know, and those games were great. And you can't replicate like all the different bitter rivalries. Obviously, Magic Bird, but even like Bird and Dr. J, And of course, the Pistons and Celtics hated each other. And then you got to the Pistons and Bulls, and Michael Jordan would be a great player now. He was then. He was a great player. Look, I think it was very impressive that Jordan, in his four times that he faced Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons, got one series win.
There we go.
And the three series losses that he had, by the way, were in his prime with Scottie Pippen, and he lost all three of those. Still, great player. He would be one now. The overall talent level of the league is vastly improved from then to now. Like, again.
And by the way, Michael Jordan has something to do with that, by the way. We always talk about the dream team. Like did you watch the Olympics last year? Like the game of basketball, the global part of it, other countries have gotten way better at this thing.
Right, which is part of why I love it. I love what's happening in the college game now with, like, all these European guys are finding that, look, it's more money to play for a good college. And some, like Illinois, for example, is an example of a program that's figured this out. Yeah, let's get some, like, talented Euros over here. And it's great. More people in the world who are high-level basketball players just makes the product better. It's way better. Again, you can hate it. That's fine. But, like, some of these criticisms about, like, the style of play, lack of defense, don't play team basketball, like, you're just ignorant. You don't actually watch. If you don't watch, great. Hate basketball. I don't care. But if you're going to pretend to analyze basketball and then you're going to come with ignorance, I don't want you in the discussion. Jacob on the YouTube chat says, there seems to be no middle ground with regards to the NBA right now. You either love it and think it's pretty great, or you hate it, romanticize the 80s and 90s in a way that we don't do with other sports. I totally agree. Again, I love it. It is a great product. Like, the fact that Jared's like, oh, you make the case, it's a great product. Yeah, dude. I mean, we've talked about it many times. I don't know what to tell you. You're allowed to hate basketball. Hate it. Yeah. But you can't tell me, looking at all these different teams, different styles of play, all these great players, way more great players than there used to be. No, there's not. I don't know who the next, singular superstar is. I think Luka probably has as good a chance as anyone, and he does have to, like, get more serious, but the game is great.
I agree, and I like the talent level is awesome. Now, there's still some problems I have with the league. Like, more of it has to do with, like, what some of the stuff Adam Silver's, like, the play-in tournament and the stupid all-star format stuff. Like, they got a lot of problems they got to figure out on that front. And look, I do have sympathy for people who say, like, I hate team shooting 55 threes a game. Like, I don't like that either. So, like, it's not
but perfect. They don't all do that every
they day. Don't all do that, and the talent level is what we're talking about here, and the talent level is just way different than it used to be. So I think you can recognize both things. It's not a perfect game. There are some problems that they got to get figured out, and it also, like, not every team from the 90s and 80s would kick the crap out of today's teams. I think we got to live in reality with these discussions. Joe, there is a piece of audio that we've got to get to coming up next that is just absolutely hilarious. And if you're a Tennessee fan, you'll find it even more hilarious, or maybe depressing. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June the 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 7:45. Joe, you have stumbled across a story in college football that, frankly, is just hilarious. So A.J. McCarron, former Alabama quarterback, was on his podcast, which I think is called Dynasty, and he was going through, like, basically his recruiting process and told a story of a hilarious intersection of two Tennessee coaches, one being Lane Kiffin and the other at the time and what would become future head coach Jeremy Pruitt, who was an assistant on Alabama's staff at that time. And here is what A.J. McCarron said about his being recruited by both Tennessee and Alabama.
Lance Thompson was the recruiter for Mobile and Trent's area, like the whole South, Southeast, right? Go so he ends up leaving and joining Lane Kiffin at Tennessee. And Lane, I think, got the head job early December 2008. Well, this is leading up a couple months probably 2 months away from signing day. And Jeremy Pruitt had been hired to take over our area. And Coach Saban was like, hey, I want you to go down. AJ had said, like, Tennessee's starting to hit him up. And Lance is from down there. So go down, watch his house. And I want to know if Lance is trying to backdoor us and steal him away. And he's like, all right. Well, Pruitt comes down, and he's sitting in front of the house, and he had been there for about 2 days. And one morning, I'm knocked out. I think Dad's at the fire station. I'm sleeping. All of a sudden, I get a bang on my window, bedroom window. Bam, 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 bam.
Smokey!
Yeah.
Smokey!
I wake up, and I'm like, who the hell is banging on my window? And I open up the blinds. And it's Lane and Lance are leaned down near my window going like this. And I look behind them, and it's the whole offensive coaching staff for Tennessee.
Hanging outside your window.
Outside my window. And all you hear is Lance, let me in. Let us in. And I'm like, all right. And so go let them in. Well, it's probably 30 minutes, hour later after they had left, Coach Saban calls me. I was like, what you doing, boy? I was like, oh, nothing. Just getting my day going. I said, but I just had a full-on interview and meeting with the whole Tennessee staff. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the whole staff was down here in my living room, and we were here for about 30, 45 minutes. And he said, I told Pruitt's ass to get down there and watch your house. Let me call him. And so he calls him. He's like, damn it, Pruitt, what are you doing? He's like, I'm nothing, coach. I'm sitting in front of AJ's house. Like you told me. He said, no, the hell you're not. Tennessee just left. And he's like, no, coach, they haven't. Nobody's left the house. Nobody's even showed up to the house. So he gets out. He's like, let me go check. Knocks on the door. My little old lady down the street from me answers. He's like, is AJ here? And she's like, AJ doesn't live here. He lives six houses down that way.
Joe.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. I don't know that I've ever heard a story that sums up Jeremy Pruitt quite like that one. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff from AJ McCarron.
That is absolutely incredible. I'm just trying. I wish we could see like the absolute meltdown of Saban at that moment.
I could. Yeah. First
when
off,
Jeremy explained to him what
everything
happened.
Everything he described about every one of those characters you can just picture in your mind, from Lane Kiffin like dangling outside of a bedroom window, knocking on the door on the window of a recruit sneaking in, to Jeremy Pruitt being totally oblivious to the entire thing, six houses down at the wrong house, to Saban absolutely losing his mind on Pruitt. I would imagine, Joe, I can't prove this, but the day that Tennessee and Philip Fulmer hired Jeremy Pruitt, Nick Saban was just like, oh, thank God. Yes. This is awesome.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
That's the crazy thing, though. Like, you're probably right, but he also did have him as his DC, right?
Yeah, so,
like,
but I mean, we all know being DC for Alabama, what has that really meant over the years?
Yeah.
A lot of Saban. Now, Kirby Smart, for sure. A lot of Saban involvement in that.
That's the thing. It's hard to like. It's hard to distinguish sometimes because Kirby has turned out to be great, you know, and Pruitt just a total goober. I mean, it's just a first of all, I've never heard of a story. You hear a lot of crazy recruiting stories, but like basically Pruitt was on like a FBI stakeout, you know?
Yeah.
Like, did he have a little mustache and a hat and sunglasses? Like, you know, I mean, and also what if, I mean, I guess then the orders are just to call Saban, right? Like Saban's not like, now if you see Tennessee going in there, you get in there and you know,
stand guard ahead at the door. Yeah.
Like tackle Lane from the side and just blast him. Like, what's he supposed to do? I mean, he actually deployed a coach to just watch the house of a recruit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, man. And of course, this goes right back to like when shortly after he had hired Pruitt away from Hoover High School in Hoover, Alabama. Amazing stuff.
He lives down the street.
Like, I got to know, like, did he just get a number wrong in the address?
Is Pruitt giving like hourly reports? He's giving like hourly reports to Saban. He's like, Hey, coach, there's a stray cat that's wandering down the sidewalk. You think Tennessee might have sent that? Throw me off the scent? I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Caleb points out, I'm pretty sure he won Recruiter of the Year at Alabama, too. Hey, if you're going to put in this kind of effort. Now, this is hard work. You know, we talk a lot about hard work on our station. This is hard. Are you staking out a high school kid's house?
Hey, coach.
At all hours of the day. That's
you wouldn't believe
work.
It. The postman doesn't show up until 5 o'clock. How do you even get your mail around here?
Oh, man. Jeremy Pruitt. Now, this is one of those things. You know, Pruitt's been kind of, you know, he's trying to, you know, kind of, and he did a little media stuff last year, trying to kind of keep himself in the game. Like, does something like this just completely undercut any hope he had of getting hired by anyone?
I don't know. Like, I really wish that he didn't have, you know, like a show cause. I need him back in the game in some capacity. I need him back on the sideline somewhere, whether it's punching a whiteboard, whatever it is. I need him back in there.
Well, and the thing is, even with a show cause, like, you can still, I mean, you know, like, I think he could be an analyst for someone, you know? Like, I mean, like, some of those jobs, they have nothing to do with recruiting, anything like that. I don't think it would be, like, you know, a problem for the program. The question is, would you want to? Obviously, he's a good detective.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's doing now. He's, you know, private investigator somewhere. 615-737-1025, our phone number. That may be my favorite story of all time. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode.
It's amazing.
Coming up next, Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexrode.
Born and raised downriver.
Joe, I'm going to give you about a, you know, it's your show, but I'm going to give you about a minute.
What are you going to allot me, Jared? You're going to allot me some time?
When I was a kid and we used to play football in the parking lot.
Right.
I would design very good plays.
Geographically?
There's not a south part of Detroit?
That's just north, north, south, east, west.
You bury your defense of the NBA in comparison to what the NBA used to be, which the NBA used to be great, and now the NBA, hate to say it, kind of stinks.
I know for a fact. I'm just guessing also, really.
Hey, Jared, shut up. Thanks.
Toots is the driving cat.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. Ian is just an absolute pro at these little mashups. Rex Road, the floor is yours. I turn it over to you.
Good stuff. And actually, this is not Jared triggering me on this. I have to. First of all, I'm arguing on a variety of fronts on the NBA. Let me just again. Now Ed is coming at me with like the player driven league and the super teams. You think that's good for the league? Again, we just talked about Adam Silver. I'm not saying the league's perfect. There are plenty of issues. I hate the play-in tournament, too. I hate the play-in. I hate the early season tournament. The All-Star game is – I mean, there's a lot of stuff that sucks. I don't watch a ton of NBA regular season basketball. I don't watch a ton of regular season NHL hockey either. When both tournaments come, I'm absolutely giddy with excitement, and they always deliver. You know, we don't always get, like, a great final series, but there are always great series. And the games continue to progress. Like, again, you look at the investment in everything, in analytics, in sports science, in nutrition, training, skill development, any sport you want. You know, look, I don't like baseball as much as I used to either. And I think there's a parallel. Baseball is you know, home run, strikeout, feast, famine more than it used to be, I feel like. I hate the second guy, you know, the freaking runner on second and extra inning and stuff like that. But, like, there's not an argument to make that baseball players haven't continued to develop. I mean, look at some of the stuff that is coming out of the hands of these pitchers right now. Everybody throws 98 with absurd movement. This is what I'm talking about, right? Like, But for some reason, I think most people can get there on all the sports. Maybe not. Maybe someone out there wants to tell me. Maybe Sean Henry wants to tell me his 87 New York Giants would just destroy, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles of today, you know. But I doubt it. I doubt he'd say that because we all have brains and eyes. With basketball, for some reason, people don't can't get it. I'll always love the late 80s NBA the most. But again, go watch those games. Michael Jordan, would he be a great player today? Of course, as I said, as Jared twisted my words, are there way more players in the league today who would have a chance of guarding him than there were?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. It's very simple. But I've got to go to Dane from Nolensville, who just triggered me, man, because I've probably ranted about this. I mean, how many new rants can there really be, Robbie? You know?
Not many.
But if I have, I apologize. But I think that this is a good one to revisit every once in a while. Like I said earlier, Michael Jordan, great player. He won those six titles in the 90s, and the league had kind of dipped overall a little bit. But still, great. You know, won those championships and all that. Now, when he was in his prime, and I mean his prime, you're talking he was 20. Let's see, born. Okay, so he was 24. 25 and 26 as a fourth, fifth, and six-year pro with Scottie Pippen and all those guys when he got his ass kicked 3 years in a row by the Pistons. So it happens. But he got him. He got him one time. Good for you, Michael Jordan. The big thing that triggered me today is at the time he got him, 1991, and the Bulls swept on their way to the first championship, beat Magic Johnson and the Lakers in the finals. There's still people, including Dane from Nolensville today, who texts me, the Pistons walked off the court with 8 seconds left. What a bunch of bleep losers.
Bad sports.
Yes. So I want to take you back 4 years earlier. Something no one talks about, but let's talk about it. 3 years earlier, 1988, the Pistons finally beat the hated Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, game 6 at home, and they send them packing, and the Pistons are going to the finals, and everybody's celebrating in the Pontiac Silverdome. And guess what happens? The whiny-ass Celtics walk off the floor without shaking anybody's hand. But does anybody ever talk about that? Oh, no, no, no. No, let's vilify the Pistons for doing what other teams did, but let's ignore that Larry Bird and Dennis Johnson and Robert Parrish and freaking Danny Ainge walked their ass off the court to the locker room and didn't say a damn thing to anybody. We never talk about that. But you know what we talk about? Kevin McHale. Because he was a guy who came to Isaiah and he said, hey, don't just be happy to win this. Go beat the Lakers. And they slapped hands. And so it was like, wow, great sportsmanship, Kevin McHale. Okay, well, guess what? In 1991, when Isaiah and Lambeer and Rodman walked off and said, screw you, basically double middles to the Bulls, because that day in the newspapers, which is what people cared about then, the newspapers, a big story in the Chicago papers, Michael Jordan, the Pistons have ruined the NBA, and I'm here to save the NBA. Their style of play, blah, 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 whiny, whiny little bitch. So the Pistons said, screw you, and walked off. But no one ever talks about Joe Dumars, John Sally, at least those two did the same thing McHale did. They said, hey, Michael, good job. Congratulations. Go win the final. Why?
I think the Pistons were incredibly bad sports. I think it's just bad sportsmanship from the Pistons.
Well, look, I'm not saying that I'm not saying and it wasn't bad sportsmanship. Isaiah Lambeer, those guys weren't good. I mean, they were not good sportsmanship guys. Okay,
crybabies.
Breaking news.
Let's not pretend like I know. Let's not pretend like Jordan was. Let's not pretend like Larry Bird was. Again, Larry Bird, the same exact thing. But we never talk about that. So I just want to make sure that we have the record set straight on that, Dane from Nolensville. So the next time that you want to talk, the Pistons walked out the floor. Just remember those glorious Larry Bird-led Celtics did the same thing when they beat them. You know, these teams hate each other back then. And that is where I will agree with people. That's why I will never love the NBA more than I loved it then because of that. The absolute bitter rivalries. The fans attach themselves to their teams, their players. And it was amazing when you won, and it was absolutely awful when you lost. I mean, look, man, you know, 75% success against Jordan in the playoffs, I'll take it, but I wish it was 1,000, you know? Good for him for getting his one little win. It will never be as good as that in terms of loving it for me and for a lot of people. But some people are trying to say the game was better, the talent was – it's just insane, and I can't deal with it, Robbie.
I'm just glad that they finally realized how overrated Isaiah was and kept him off the dream team. I'm glad we finally got there.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I'm just trying to see exactly how red-faced we could get you today.
I know. I mean, we sat here and had Jared on here. I'll give you 1 minute, 1 minute to make your case. And then I said something, and he said, oh, you're saying Jordan would have been just another guy. I'll be a segment later. I didn't say that. I
Long
why?
Fuse.
Why on a Friday? I know.
Been a beautiful day on the program. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.